We're holding on Iron Hay Onward Bays, 12 lines from the bottom, Itmar Sphina. Now that we learned in the Mishnah about the case where a person sells a ship to somebody else, and we said what is and isn't included exactly with the ship, and then that led us into the whole Agadah about ships representing the voyage of the Jewish people through Golos, so the voyage of a individual person through his life, and digressing from one topic to another in Agadah. So now getting back to Halacha, Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroi, Sphina, when a person is buying a boat. Now we know, of course, a boat being metalplin, then you have to do one of the regular kinds of kinyan that are valid for metalplin, unlike karka, where you can pay money and you'll own the karka right away, because karka can be acquired with kesef shtar or chazaka. A boat is metalplin, and you're going to need one of the regular kinyanim, meshicha or hagbar or whatever. And hagbar, realistically, you're not going to be able to do. You can't pick up a ship. So Sphina, when it comes to buying a boat, what kind of kinyan, at what point has the kinyan been accomplished? Where, as usual, once the kinyan's been accomplished, then neither one can change their mind. Rav Amar Kivan Shemashach Kol Shehu Kana. Rav says, as long as you did meshicha, even a small amount, then you're koina. Meaning, in other words, Rav would say, so you did meshicha, you started pulling the boat, and you pulled it a couple of inches, then already at that point, meshicha has been accomplished. Shmuel says, no, you're only going to accomplish meshicha when you move the whole thing. In other words, that now the boat, no part of the boat is in the same is in the same footprint where it was before. So you have the boat is, let's say, 10 feet long. You had it docked at the dock. So then Shmuel is going to require you to do to for the Meshicha to be effective, to pull it at least 10 feet, so that every part of the boat is now it. So there's no part you don't want to have, for example, that the back of the boat, the stern, is going to be in any place where the bow, the front of it, was before. You want to have that it's completely out of the footprint where it was before. There is, by the way, now what we're talking about over here is this is the here the Gemara is gonna contrast this with the meshicha of an animal. So now you have a machloikas we're showing him over here that is Rav's and Shmuel if is Rav and Shmuel's machloikas only as far as a boat in the water. Later on in the Masechta, the Rashbam says that Rav would say, since there's water under the boat, then any amount of meshicha is fine. But if it were to be on land, then Rav would agree with Shmuel that you have to move it completely out of the footprint of where it was before. And then the Rosh brings that no, the machlokas would be about all kinds of metal. And then the reason why they mention it by a boat is even a boat where it's a big hassle to schlep it, Shmuel would still say you have to do meshicha on the whole thing. And then the Rosh brings a possibility the other way around, that even Rav would say that by a boat it's enough to do even a small amount of meshicha, because otherwise a boat and an animal do have this in common: they both move on their own, in the sense that the boat is not moved, the boat is moved by the water moving it, and the animal moves by itself, as opposed to other kinds of metalin. Then maybe both Rav and Shmuel would agree that it's enough to do even a small amount of meshicha. So you have just in this matter alone, then you have several different opinions about when Rav and Shmuel are arguing how much meshicha is needed. Then within that itself, you have a machlokas whether that applies only to boats and only to boats, or whether it applies to other kinds of metalin as well. Anyway, so the Gemara says lema katanoi. Should we say that this machlokas of Rav and Shmuel? So should we say that this machlokas of Rav and Shmuel is similar to a machlokas tanoi? Where, as usual, the question would be then, why are Rav and Shmuel repeating the machlokas rather than just saying that we hold like the respective tanoi? Namely, we learn in a braisa, ketzad b'mesira. Now we learned back in Kiddushin that there are certain kinds of metaltlin where it's enough to do mesira. Namely, that you just hand over the reins or something. In particular, we learned over there that a behema gasa, a large animal, it's enough to do mesira. So now the Rashbam says it's a svara, because different things, a behema daka, a sheep or a goat, you could easily lift up. So therefore, you would do mashicha for those, as opposed to a behema gasa, a cow, a horse, or whatever. You can't really easily pick them up. So therefore, so the normal way would be to do masira. Would be to do masira, that you hand over the reins. Again, within this, you have quite a bit of discussion about how you have mashicha, you have masira, you have hagbah, how all those three interact. The Rashbam makes a point over here further on in the sugya that when you have a stronger method of kinyan available, then a weaker method doesn't necessarily work. So therefore, for example, by the behema daka, where you could do hagbah, then a weaker one is not necessarily going to work. And the Rishonim discussed that back and forth a good deal. Rabbi Tam has a funny expression about it, that the Rosh brings, that kinyanim are not like mitzvahs, where one is mevatel the other. Why should we say because you could do one, therefore instead you can't do another. Anyway, so the Braisa says ketzad b'mesira. How do you accomplish mesira with a large animal? It doesn't just mean giving over the reins. It can be any of the above. It can be any of the following. Ochsa b'talfa, if he held on to the animal with its, if he held on to the animal's hoof, b'sa'ara, or its hair, its fur, b'ukaf sha'alaha, or the saddle on the animal, b'shlif sha'alaha, or a bundle of merchandise that's tied onto the back of it, b'prubia sh'bapiha, or the reins or the bit that's in the animal's mouth, Bezug shabatzavara, or the bell that's around its neck. So once the buyer held on to one of these things, and the buyer, it has to be that the buyer told him leich hazak ukni. The buyer told him go make hazaka, and with that you will acquire. So now when he does that, when he does any one of these things, then that amounts to saying. That saying, in other words, that any of these things will be a valid mesir. So then he was koinhead. Tosfos brings that the Riva holds that mesira would actually have to be from hand to hand, so that it would be, for example, with any of these things, whether we're talking about the reins, whether we're talking about the hoof, or the fur, or whatever, it would have to be that it's actually being passed literally from the hand of the seller to the hand of the buyer. But Tosfos disagrees with that. And says, like the Rashbam, that it would be enough that the seller told him, Leich chazak ukni, go make a chazaka, and with that you'll be koneh. It doesn't have to be transferred from hand to hand. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Ketzad b'mashicha. So that explains how we accomplish mesira. Now, how do we accomplish mashicha? Koneh lo v'hiba, the buyer calls to the animal, and it comes. And then it walks toward, runs towards him. Or he hit it with a stick and it ran in front of him. The kivin sha'okra, yad v'rego kna, as soon as it picked up one foreleg and one hind leg, then he was koneh, and we're talking about even it didn't move completely from its place. So that's the Tanakhama. On the other hand, Rab Achi, v'amilo Rab Acha Oimer, Achi, or some say Rab Acha, says that no, it has to be Achtahalach Maloi Kai Masa. Meshicha has not been accomplished until the animal walks its full length, meaning that it moves all four of its feet and is now in a different place than it was before. So now, before we were saying by a boat that Rav and Shmuel are arguing whether it's enough to move it a little bit, or whether it has to move out of the complete footprint of where it was before. Well, now it seems to come out. It seems that Rav is going like Tanakama, Shmuel is going like Rav Acha. So again, why are they saying it as though it was a new machlokes, when they should just say Rav should say the halacha is like the Tanakama, and Shmuel should say the halacha is like Rav Acha? The answer is Omalach Rav. I know the Amri Afilu Rav Acha. So Rav can say, no, what I'm saying is correct, is valid, even according to Rav Acha. What Rav Acha is saying is by an animal, but a ship would be different. Ad Kamak Omar Rav Acha Elo Bali Chayim. Because Rav Acha is only talking about with living creatures. the Afagav, the Okra, Yod Verego, even if it only picked up one foreleg and one hind leg, the Duch the Kaima, it's still basically standing in the same place. You have the other foreleg and the other hind leg didn't move yet, so it's still standing in the same place. Abel Sfina, but Rav would point out with a boat, it's not like that. It's one big thing. Kivin the Nada Bapurta, Nada Lakula. Once a little bit of it moves, all of it has moved. Sure, you don't have, it's not out of the footprint of where it was before. It hasn't moved 10 feet in our example before, and the boat is 10 feet long. But nevertheless, you have the bow, the front of the boat, is now not in the same place it was before. The stern, the back of the boat, is not in the same place it was before. It all moves as one unit. Therefore, even Reb Acha might hold that it's enough to move the ship a few inches or a foot or two, and you're already kodesh. Or Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel counters and says, another Amref of the Katana Kama. What I'm saying about a boat where you need to move the entire length of the boat would work even according to the Tanakama. Ad Kamla, Kama Tanakama, Elo Baba Chaim, because on the contrary, you could say the Tanakama is talking about living animals. The Kivin de Ma'akri, Yod Verego, once it moved one foreleg and one hind leg, Idoch Lameka Kaima, then the rest of it is going to be moved. The animal is not going to stand there with one foreleg and one hind leg in the air after all. Soon enough, it's going to move. It's going to move the other ones. Abel Sfina, but a boat which is not going to move on its own. Imoshel Bakula. If he moves the whole thing, Ain, then you have a Kinyan, Eloy. And if not, even the Tanakama might agree, Loy, that not so. So therefore, said Rav and Shmuel are not recapitulating the Machloikas of the Tanakama and Rav Acha, because in fact, each of their opinions could work according to either one of the opinions. Tosfos points out the fact is though that Tanakama says that for an animal, for the kinyan of an animal, it's enough for it to move one foreleg and one hind leg. The fact is, you have to ask, according to Shmuel, by a boat, he's saying you have to move the whole thing. It has to move completely out of the footprint of where it was before. The fact is, by an animal, that hasn't been done yet. So Tosfos says, okay, but once it moved a foreleg and a hind leg, then it's considered, we can consider as though it moved its full length. So there is some discussion of Rishonim what Tosfos means by that, and what the Gemara means, and what the Gemara means by that. The Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ritva explain that when an animal moves, because as the Gemara is saying, once it's moved two legs, it's soon going to move the other two, and they say, once the animal has moved all four legs, then it's equivalent to a boat moving completely out of its place. And the idea would be, again, like we said before, that Rashbam holds, since a boat is constantly in contact with the water, then therefore you haven't really lifted it off yet. It would be like dragging something along the ground, as opposed to an animal. You're not dragging every leg is moving, and every leg is now in a different place than it was before. So with a boat, since you're in effect dragging it along the ground, or in this case dragging it along the water, then Shmuel would hold you have to be able to go through all the water. You have to move it completely out of the place where it was before in order for that to work. Okay, so fine. So we've established then that Rav and Shmuel are not arguing in the same argument as Tanakama and Rav Acha. Both the Tanakama, either the Tanakama or Rav Acha, might hold, either who have the machloikas as far as an animal, might argue, each of them might agree with Rav or with Shmuel regarding a boat. Again, you have the machloikas Rishonim, whether Bechlau, the whole machloikas Rav and Shmuel, is referring only to boats and animals, or maybe is it referring to other kinds of metalphalin as well. Okay, next, the Gemara says, Lema Kahani Tanoi. Fine. Would we have to say, though, that Rav and Shmuel are arguing on another Machloikas Tanoim? Fine, not Rav Acha and the Chachamim, but maybe a different one where we find that Tanoim argue on an issue involving a boat, where it seems that Rav holds like one man to Omer and Shmuel like the other. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Sfina Niknis B'Meshicha, a ship can be acquired by Meshicha, Rav Nosson Omer, Sfina V'Oisius, Niknis B'Meshicha, Rav Nosson says that a boat or osius. Now, osius means letters, of course. What it means is when you're selling a shtar to somebody, now you have to consider when you sell somebody any kind of metalplin, then that's it. You're selling them the metalplin, and that's that. You don't really distinguish between what aspect of it you're selling to them. On the other hand, with a shtar, you can consider. You have the actual physical shtar itself, which, as the Gemara is going to say later on, you can use it to use as a bottle stopper. And then you have the fact that the shtar represents a certain amount of money that the other person owes you. And when you're selling a shtar, really what you're selling is that, the right to collect that debt from the other person. So that's called selling him the osius. You're not just selling him the physical piece of paper that the shtar is written on. You're selling him the osius that are written on the shtar, that now gives him the right to collect that debt that till now was owed to you, that now is going to be owed to him. So now Rav Nosson says that a boat and osius, niknis b'meshicha, can be acquired with meshicha, uvashtar. They can also be acquired with a shtar. So you could have a shtar that he writes about the sale of the boat, or you can have a shtar that he writes about the sale of the shtar itself. First we have to clarify what Rav Nosson is saying. And once we do, once we figure out what Rav Nosson is saying, because we're osius, where does that come in? All of a sudden, the Tanna Kamma never said any such thing. So once we clarify Rav Nosson's opinion, then we'll be able to figure out that it seems that Rav Nosson and the Tanna Kamma are arguing on the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel about how much meshicha is needed in order to acquire a boat. So as far as the shtar, when Reuven is selling a shtar to Shimon, the point is that Rav Nosson is making is that you need to write another shtar that you're selling that shtar, otherwise it amounts to that you're only selling the piece of paper. Lots of pizza, as the Gemara calls it further on, to wrap around the cover of a bottle. So the Gemara says, first of all, osius man b'char shmai. Whoever said anything about osius beforehand, that Rav Nosson is that Rav Nosson is mentioning that concept. So the answer is chasuri mechsera. The Braisa is missing a phrase. The Braisa means to say like this. Sfina niknish the meshicha. In order to acquire a sfina of a boat, you need meshicha. Mesira is not enough. In other words, just to be able to, you might have conceivably a person sells a ship to somebody else, and just like we said with a behema gasa, where you hand over the reins. Conceivably, you could have with a ship where you hand over the rope that the ship is tied up with. Nevertheless, the Tanna Kamma is saying that's not enough.
You have to pull it,
and as we had before, Rav and Shmuel are arguing how much you have to pull it. So the Tanna Kamma is saying that a sfina, that a boat, dafka, has to be acquired with meshicha, not mesira. But osius b'mesira. On the other hand, to acquire osius, to acquire the debt that's written in a shtar, for that you need mesira. You need to hand it over. You need to physically hand over the shtar. The difference being, so that Rashbam says, the difference is, meshicha would only work with something that has an intrinsic value. So as soon as you did meshicha, then you acquire it. So if you're going to sell the shtar, again, as a piece of paper, lots of pizza chusay, then sure, meshicha would be enough. But to acquire the osius, you would have to have mesira, where it goes from hand to hand. That's what the Tanna Kamma is saying. Rav Nosson Omer, and then Rav Nosson would be arguing and saying, Sfina v'osius niknis b'meshicha v'shtar. Rav Nosson would say that both the ship and the osius can both be acquired with meshicha or with a shtar. So in short, in other words, that the Tanna Kamma would be saying that to acquire a ship, all you need is meshicha. Rav Nosson would seem to require that you need meshicha and a shtar. First we have to clarify completely what Rav Nosson is saying, and then we'll see how this relates to the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara asks, "Shtar l'sfina lomali? Why would you need a shtar in order to acquire a boat? Mela shtar to acquire a shtar to have another shtar again. Like we said, a shtar has two aspects of it. You have the actual piece of paper, and you have the osius. So fine, you could say in order to acquire the osius, you need another shtar. But a boat is plain old metalkalin. Why would you why would you need another shtar in order? Why would you need a shtar in order to acquire metalkalin? Shtar is only needed for karka. Metalkalin, the boat is metalkalin. El alav hachi katani. So evidently, therefore, the machlokas must be as follows. Sfina niknis b'mashicha v'osias b'mesira. We do still have that missing phrase in the Braisa where we have to start by saying that the boat is acquired with mashicha, but the osias are acquired with mesira. Tosfos points out, by the way, at this stage of the Gemara, they didn't really have to fix up the Tanakama's words. It could have just said the Tanakama is saying that you need Mashicha alone, and Rav Nosson is saying you need a shtar, but then we're going to have further on in the discussion over here, further down on the Amud, we're going to say that Osius Niknis B'Mesira, and that wouldn't be according to either the Tanakama or Rav Nosson, which is what forces the Gemara to say at this point, at this stage already of the discussion, that the Tanakama holds for Osius you need Mesira. That's why the Gemara had fixed up the Tanakama's words. Tosfos also, by the way, points out that, and there is a big machlokas we're showing him about this, when we talk about that you have to do meshicha or mesira or whatever on a shtar, Tosfos discusses, and other Rishonim discuss in a similar vein, that we're not talking necessarily about one individual shtar. If it was one individual shtar, by all means, you should be doing hagbah on it. We're talking about, let's say, where Reuven is selling to Shimon a whole bag full of shtaris. So therefore, it's not something that you would normally do Agbah on. Again, you have the principle that the Rishonim say, that the Rashbam mentions, that when you have a stronger method of opinion available, you can't use a weaker method. So therefore, we're applying that over here. Then it would be, if it was one individual shtar, why should you only do Mesira? Better you should do Meshicha. Let him actually pick up the shtar.
So Mesira means giving it over.
Mesira means giving it over. Meshicha means picking it up.
That's lifting it up.
That's a better kind of Kenyan, yeah. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who discuss and say that not necessarily Bechlal, when the Gemara uses the word Mesira over here, it may actually mean Hagbah. No, it doesn't necessarily need witnesses. In general, for things involving dinim mamonis, you don't always need witnesses. The general rule is, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, lo ivri sadi ela l'shkori. The concept of witnesses in such cases is needed only in case somebody else lies and claims that it didn't happen or whatever. Yeah, but in halacha, we call them edi birur and edi kiyu. You have edim where you only need them to clarify what happened, but if both of them agree what happened, then you don't need edim. And then you have edikiyum, for example, by kiddushin or by gittin or whatever, where you need edim, and without them, the thing doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Anyway, the point is that there are rishonim who explain that you think of it, a shtar, you don't usually, hagbah would normally mean something that's lying on the ground and you pick it up. But a shtar is never normally going to be lying on the ground anyway. It's going to be on the, you're usually going to have it from hand to hand. So therefore, actually there are Rishonim who learn, and again, Tosfos seems to be going along the same logic, that doing Hagbah on a shtar would not work, when we're talking about over here Hagbah, we're talking about, Tosfos again is saying that we're talking about when you have a bag full of shtaris, then that's when you do Meshicha or Mesira or whatever, but otherwise, there are Rishonim who say that Hagbah would be by actually transferring it from one hand to one hand, and that would be what the Gemara is calling over here, Hagbah or Mesir. Yeah. Getting back to the Gemara. So now El Alav Hachi Katani. So evidently the Braisa means like this: Sfina Niknis B'Mashicha. A boat is acquired through Mashicha. V'Osius B'Mesira. The letters on a shtar, on the other hand, the Tanakama is saying, are acquired through Mesira by giving it over from hand to hand, but not Mashicha. Rav Nosson and Sfina B'Mashicha. Rav Nosson agrees and says that with a boat it's enough to do Mashicha. But Osius Bishtar, but as far as Osius, it's not enough to do Mesira. You would actually have to have a shtar. You would have to do both, Mesira and a shtar. You would have to have Mesira to hand it over from hand to hand. Especially as Tosfos is saying over here, according to their shita, if we're talking about a whole bag full of shtaris, where it's not normal to lift them up. But in addition, you would also need a shtar to write out that I am selling you all of the osius, all of the debts that are included in these shtaris. Okay. So now the question would be Sfina Mashiach Hainu Tanakama. The question that would be, if that's what Rav Nosson means, then it comes out with a boat. He's saying exactly the same thing as the Tanakama. So then why is he even bothering repeating about the Sfina? Let the Tanakama say, now that we fixed up the Tanakama's words, that a boat requires only Mashiach, and implicitly the Tanakama is saying, and again we added with Chsuri Mechsera, that when it comes to a shtar, it's enough to do Mesira, and Rav Nosson would be saying that you need a shtar, or that you need Mesira and a shtar, according to the different gear size, and that would be it. Why is he bothering mentioning the ship when he agrees with the Tanakama on it?
Rav Nosson.
If both the Tanakama, now that we're fixing up the words of the Braisa, if both of them are saying that a boat needs Mashiach, then let the Tanakama say a boat needs Mashiach, and let Rav Nosson not say anything about a boat at all, because he agrees with it. In fact, the Rashba points out that the Gemara is really asking two questions in one. That was before when we said that a shtar for a boat, first of all, metalpalin don't require a shtar, and second of all, why would a shtar even help? It only works for metalpalin. So now that we're fixing up and we're saying that Rav Nosson is saying the shtar is required only to purchase another shtar, so now the question is, why Rav Nosson is Bechlal mentioning what happens with a boat when he agrees with the Tanakama on it? Wouldn't it have to be then, evidently, that they're arguing about the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel? So it would come out that the Tanakama would be saying that it's for a boat, or you need Mashiach to do Mashiach of the entire thing. Now, the Rashbam says you have a general rule that when a second Tana says something in a Mishnah or a Braisa, he's usually coming to add something to the previous one. If we don't clearly see a machlokas between them, but he's saying his opinion, he's not Stam saying it in order to have his name in the Mishnah. So he's saying it in order to add something, and therefore that he would be adding that here the Tanakama would be saying you have to move the boat completely out of the area where it was, like Shmuel, and then Rav Nosson would be saying, like Rav, it's enough to move it a little bit.
It means move it out of its parking space.
So Shmuel holds you have to move it completely out of its parking space, right? Rav would say that not, it's enough to just move it a couple of inches. So now we would say the Tanakama would hold like Shmuel, that you have to move it completely out of its space where it was in. And Rav Nosson, though, would be adding, you don't really need to do that. It's enough to just move it a couple of inches. That's a point of the Rashbam. Tosfos says a different point of it, given that we see that Rav Nosson is holding by Osius that you need a stronger kinyan. Here the Tanakama is saying by Osius it's enough to do Mesira, and Rav Nosson is requiring you to write a shtar for it. The same way, so Tosfos learns the other way around. Rav Nosson would be holding, like Shmuel, that you need to move it completely out of its parking space. Tosfos says the other way around. The Tanakama, who says all you need for Osius is a weaker kinyan of Mesira, he would hold that by a boat also it's enough to do a weaker kinyan of just moving it a little bit. Rav Nosson then would hold like Shmuel and say, that just like by Osius, he says you need a stronger kinyan, so also by a boat would he say you need a stronger kinyan, namely to move it completely. So it seems that depending how you learn, like Rashbam or like Tosfos, then you have Rav Nosson and the Chachamim are arguing on the same argument as Rav and Shmuel. So again, Rav should say, this is what the Tanakama means, and I hold like him. And Shmuel should say, this is what Rav Nosson means, and I hold like him, or vice versa. Why are they presenting it as though it's a whole new machlokes? So the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily. Is that how we should understand Rav Nosson and the Chachamim? Dekula alma ika Rav ika Shmuel. Both Rav Nosson and the Chachamim may agree with either Rav or Shmuel. We could learn Rav Nosson's statement and the Chachamim's statement according to either one of them, whether it means that you have to move the whole boat or just a little bit of it. You could, after all, say that they're not arguing about a boat. Then why would Rav Nosson mention anything about a boat? We'll explain in a second. Or the pligi ba'osius, the machlokas may be strictly about the osius, about whether you need Mesira alone or whether Rav Nosson holds that you need a shtar as well. V'hachik ka'amalei Reb Nosson l'Tanakama. Namely, Reb Nosson may be saying to the Tanakama as follows. V'sfina v'adai medinava. You're telling me two things. You're telling me a din about a boat, and you're telling me a din about Osius. Again, the original Braisa, as we originally quoted it, at the bottom of the previous Amud, the Tanakhama didn't say anything about Osius, but we had to add that because otherwise, why is Reb Nosson mentioning Osius? And in addition, Tosfos said, the fact is, we're going to have soon an opinion that says that by Osius, it's enough Mesira, and that has to be according to the Tanakhama. So now Reb Nosson is saying to the Chachamim, you're telling me two dinim, one about a boat, one about Osius. As far as a boat, I agree, Vadai Medinoach. I definitely agree with you, Meshicha is enough. However, but when it comes to Osius, only if there's a star involved, then he can be koiner, and if not, then not. So the fact
Osius
that I'm not
making a statement, Osius?
Osius again means the actual debt that's in the star, as opposed to selling the star as a piece of paper.
So again, if you want to sell
have a star where somebody owes me money and I want to sell it to you, I could be selling you the star just as a piece of paper. You don't actually own the debt that's in the shtar, but you have the right to use that shtar as a bottle stock. Then there could be where I'm selling you the actual debt that's in the shtar. That's called selling the osius. So that's been the discussion. That's been the subject of the sugya so far. What kind of kinyan is needed for that? So again, so far the Tanakhama had said that it would be enough to do mesira. Handing it over hand to hand. Again, the Rashbam had said Meshicha would not work for it, and Tosfos had discussed that actually it might. But we're talking about over here about a bag full of shtaris, and again, you have Rishonim who say that actually that Mesira over here does mean what we usually call Hagbah, what we usually call lifting it up. Anyway, but
if you're giving someone over a shtar to stuff about
then,
more,
then
you over voices. You're doing the same thing. You're picking up. You're giving it then.
But nevertheless, it's what you're giving it to him for. What kind of sale? What you tell him at the time? I'm selling you this shtar in order that you can collect the debt, or I'm selling you this shtar that you can use as a bottle stopper. Yeah. So what we'd be saying is the Tanakhama would be saying that I'm saying two dinim. A boat, which the Tanakhama had said explicitly in the Braisa, and Osius, which he had not said explicitly, we filled in with Suri Machsara. Now Reb Nosson will be saying, a boat, I agree with you, but a shtar, I disagree. Therefore, that would be why Reb Nosson is repeating the concept of the boat. We're thinking that Reb Nosson is repeating it to tell us that he holds differently by a boat as well. And therefore, that would be subject to the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Now we're saying, no, he's repeating it just to say as an introduction. When it comes to a boat, I agree with you, Tanakhama. Meshicha is enough. How much Meshicha? Maybe like Rav a little bit. Maybe like Shmuel the whole thing. I'm not getting into that. But as far as Osius, that I disagree with you. You're saying Mesira is enough. And I'm saying in addition, you need to write a shtar to confirm the sale of the shtar. Yeah. And the Gemara says, we're plugged to Dahani Tanoi. In which case then it comes out that the machloikas of Reb Nosson and the Chachamim is the same as a machloikas of other Tanoim. Which actually means that Rashbam says what it really means is, in other words, that the Chachamim of the first Braisa that we've been quoting so far is the same as Rebbe in the coming Braisa. Then on the other hand, the Chachamim against Rebbe in the following Braisa is Reb Nosson of this Braisa. So in other words, we have two Braisas, one that has Reb Nosson against the Chachamim, who are the Chachamim, Rebbe. And then you have another Braisa, which has Reb Nosson. Then you have another Braisa that we're going to quote now, which is Rebbe against the Chachamim. Who is the Chachamim of that second Braisa? Reb Nosson.
Could be one person called Rabban?
Yeah, many times, yeah. Many times that Rabbanan represents one. Well, it doesn't mean the other Chachamim don't. It doesn't mean that the other Chachamim aren't involved. I mean, they have and they line up on one side or the other. They agree with Rebbe or they agree with Reb Nosson, respectively. Right. Rashbam points out, we learned in Bava Metzia that Rebbe and Reb Nosson's Seif Mishnah, Rebbe and Reb Nosson are the last Tanoim, or the last generation of Tanoim of the Mishnah. So they were Chaverim. Now, mind you, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that Rebbe was a good deal younger than Reb Nosson. I was going to have an expression later on that Rebbe one time says, Yaldus Hosebi, I acted childishly and I spoke in a slightly disrespectful way to Reb Nosson. So apparently Reb Nosson was older. Nevertheless, the Rashbam says they're considered chaverim insofar as they both contributed to the final editing of the Mishnah. So now the Amiroim So when the Amoraim composed Brisas, that included, when the Uli Amoraim composed Brisas, that included their opinions. So in one Brisa, they put Rebbe as the Chachamim, and in the other one, they put Reb Nosson as the Chachamim. So we're plugged to the Hani Tanois. So the Machloikas of Reb Nosson and the Chachamim that we had so far is the same as the Machloikas of Rebbe and the Chachamim that we find in another Brisa, which is, again, the Rashbam is saying, these are the respective opinions, Reb Nosson and Rebbe. The Tanya, we learn in a Brisa, Osius Niknis Bemesira, to acquire the letters, meaning the debt that's in a shtar, is enough to do Mesira. Divrei Rebbe, Vacham Oimim, Bein Kosa Vloy Mosar, Vacham say no, whether you wrote a shtar that you're selling this, that you're selling the original shtar, Vloy Mosar, but he didn't actually give over the original shtar to the buyer. Bein Mosar Vloy Kosa, but whether he handed him over the original shtar, but didn't write a new shtar to that effect. Loy Kona, either way, he hasn't been Kona, Ad Shi Yichta Vloy Yimser, unless he actually gives and hands over. So we see that the Chachamim of this Braisa hold like the Or Reb Nosson of the previous Braisa, and they hold you need to write and you need to give over. Whereas Rebbe of this Braisa is the Chachamim of the previous Braisa, and they say that it's enough to do Mesira. But we see that in this Braisa, they're not arguing about a ship. So that allows us to say that previously Reb Nosson and the Chachamim, namely Rebbe, are not actually arguing about a ship, meaning they both agree that Mashiach is enough for a ship. How much Mashiach is subject to Machlokas of Rab and Shmuel, and they're not getting it. Fine. The Gemara says, "B'mayu kimta ke Rebbe." So what are you telling me then? In the first Braisa, the Tanakama is Rebbe. The problem is, Sfina Nami Tikni B'Mesira. Well, why indeed, going back to the boat, why shouldn't it be enough to do Mesira by a boat? Why shouldn't he be able to hand over to him the rope, and it would be enough? If by a shtar it's enough to give Mesira, why by a boat should we require something else? Why shouldn't we say, if we're saying...
It's a big heavy thing.
What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the logic? After all, the question is just that. The same way you are able to accomplish it through Mesira, so why is the Tanakama Dafka saying that you need that you need Mashiach?
On a regular language, if you're giving over a paper, it's sort of showing balabatchkeit, but the reins, the boat's not moving.
Why if I'm giving you over the reins of a boat, if I'm giving you over the rope of a boat, it means now you can take the boat wherever you want. So on the face of it, that should be good. Tosfos actually discusses one point. In a way, Mesira, usually we would think Mashiach is a better Kenyan, and therefore you would require Mashiach. Tosfos actually points out, in a way, Mesira is better, because Mashiach just means you're doing Mashiach on your own. I don't have to be involved with that necessarily. As opposed to Mesira, I'm actually handing it over to you. So in a way, that's something stronger. So with the Behema, we said before, Behema Gasa, you can acquire with Mesira. Behema Daka, you need Hagbar. You need to actually lift it up. Well, with a boat, you're not going to be lifting it up either way. So
pulling it by big Behema, you have to pull it, or you don't have to pull it?
By a big Behema, you don't have to pull it. It's enough to do Mesira. So the question is now, by a boat, why should the Tanakama be requiring Mashiach? Why shouldn't it be enough to do Mesira? So the Rashbam explains that the exactly that question is that why are we saying you need that you must have Mashiach? Why shouldn't it require Mesira? Again, according to Rabbi Tam and Tosfos, that Mesira is stronger than the question is. So then the question is, why shouldn't you require the stronger kind of Kenyan? Why shouldn't you require Mesira instead of Mashiach, which on the face of it is a weaker Kenyan, would be enough? Tosfos says, though, that really the language of the Gemara doesn't fit so well with that explanation of Tosfos, but yeah. Like I said, there was quite a bit of discussion among Rishonim about all these details, about what exactly, which Kenyan is stronger than the other, and do we have this concept that you always need the strongest Kenyan. Rabbi Natam uses the expression, you know, it's like with mitzvahs, we sometimes say mitzvahs mevatlas zuas zu. Like you have, for example, according to the Chachamim against Hillel, if you eat matzah and morah together, you're not yotzeh them, because each one is mevatl the other, kind of. That's why only according to Hillel Hilo, are you Yotze, which is why by the Seder we do both. But by, he says, by Kinyonim, we don't really have that. You don't really have that. One Kinyon counteracts the other. So why shouldn't you be able to do one? So why should you have to say that only the best one works? So anyway. Okay. So to Tanya. Now we learn in a Braisa.
Still no question.
So we're still in the middle of the question here. So the question is that if you're going to tell me, according to the first Braisa, that for a shtar, it's enough to do Masira, according to the Tanakama, in the first Braisa, who now we're saying is Rebbe, then by according to him, as we're going to see in the third Braisa now that we're going to quote, that by a boat, Masira is enough. Why is the first Braisa requiring Mashicha for a boat? So the Tanya, Sfinin Niknis by Masira Divi Rebbe. Rebbe says that by a boat, it's enough to that you can acquire it with Masira. Again, according to the Rashbam, that means even though Masira is a weaker Kinyan, it works. And according to the Benatam, the other way around, Masira is a stronger Kinyan, and he requires it. And he requires it. Because again, Masira is from hand to hand. The Chachamim say that he's not acquiring the boat unless he pulls it, and unless he pulls it into his Rishus. Or until he rents the place where the boat is located, and then he's acquiring it by Kinyan Chotzer. So according to Rebbe, now we're seeing clearly in this third Braisa that Rebbe is saying Masira is enough for a boat, that Masira works for a boat, whereas now we're saying that in the first Braisa that we started the whole discussion with, it seemed that Rebbe, now that we established the Tanakama of that Braisa as Rebbe, then he was saying you need Mashicha for a boat. So what is it? So the answer is like Kasha, can be Shusarabim, can be Simta. The difference is whether the boat is located in Rosh Hasharabim, namely when we say in Rosh Hasharabim, we would have to mean like in a puddle or a little lake or something in Rosh Hasharabim, because Rosh Hasharabim itself is not usually water. Rosh Hasharabim is land. So Rebbe would say that Masira works when it's in Rosh Hasharabim. So when you have like a puddle in Rosh Hasharabim, and then Now, Mashicha would be that you bring something into your Rishus. It could be your own Chotzer. It could be that Rashbam points out. It could be a Chotzer that you own jointly with somebody else. It could be, as Gemara is going to go on to say, a Simta, a side street, which is not part of Rosh Hasharabim. So that would work. In this case, you can't do that because it's all in Rosh Hasharabim. Therefore, it's enough to do Masir. And the Simta, as opposed to when to begin with, the boat is in a Simta, in a side street that opens out into Rosh Hasharabim. And again, you have water over there. So now it's not an actual Rosh Hasharabim. It's like an extension of Rosh Hasharabim in the sense that when Rosh Hasharabim is crowded, then people go into these Simtos, into these side streets. Then therefore, that would be where Rebbe says, there it's not enough to do Masira, because then you could do Mashicha. And again, the Rashbam is saying, whenever you're able to do the stronger Kinyan, the weaker Kinyan is not going to work. So in Rosh Hasharabim, you don't have the stronger Kinyan available because you can't do Mashicha in a way that's going to be effective. Therefore, because Rosh Hasharabim, because you can't acquire with Mashicha in Rosh Hasharabim. Therefore, we have no choice but to allow you Masira. But in a Simta or whatever, there he would have to do Mashicha, because there it's possible to do Mashicha and it would work. It would be effective. So the Gemara says, okay, but Mayu Kimta Lahobas Raisa. Fine. So what are we saying? We're establishing then that the we're saying that answers the question. So Rebbe is not contradicting himself. He holds either Mashicha or Masira, depends what kind of location the boat is in, Rosh Hasharabim versus Simta. Well, the question is, B'mayu kimta lahobas raisa. So what are you telling me then in the last braisa, which says that Masira works, is talking Rosh Hasharabim? Well, Ema Sefer, but look at the next part of the Braisa, where it continued, that he only is acquiring it only if he does Mashicha, or only if he rents the place that it's located. If you're talking Rosh Hasharabim, who's he supposed to rent it from? It's Rosh Hasharabim. There's nobody that you can rent it from. That's one problem with it. You can't. Rosh Hasharabim isn't owned by anybody that you'd be able to rent. That you'd be able to rent the spot from them. So what would the Chachamim mean? And not only the two Mashicha Rosh Hasharabim Mikanya. Besides which, anyway, is Mashicha B'chlal Koina and Rosh Hasharabim that the Chachamim should say you have to do Mashicha. Mela, in other words, if the Braisa, if the third Braisa was talking about any location, so we could be talking about a Sinto, we could be talking about a Chotzer that belongs to both of them, we could be talking about whatever, then we could say that that Mashicha would work, and therefore, so, and Rebbe would be saying the Sira is enough, and the Chum would insist on Mashicha. But if we're talking to Rosh Hashanah Abim, and we're saying that's the only place where Rebbe will allow Mesira, how can the Chacham be requiring Mashicha over there? Mashicha doesn't work in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Don't Abaye and Rava both say, but Mesira koina b'Rosh Hashanah Abim over Chotzer she'ena shel shnehem, that Mesira will work in only in Rosh Hashanah Abim, or only in a Chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them, because again, their Mashicha is not going to work. Because you can't, because Mashicha requires that you're taking it into your own Rishus, and that's not your own Rishus. Mashicha Koina, on the other hand, they continue, Mashicha acquires Besimta in a Simta, in a side street, over Chotzer Shehi Shal Shnehem, or it works in a Chotzer that belongs to both of them. As far as Hagbah, that will work anywhere, whether Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, or anything, or even in the Rishus of the seller. So, because then already, once he picks it up, like he's putting it in his own rishus, he's holding it in his hands. So therefore, that's considered his own rishus, even if he's standing in the rishus of the other guy. It's true. Tosfos points out you could still ask the question in a simta. Also, according to the first question of the Gemara, that you who you're supposed to rent it from, well, you can't rent rishus at Abim, you can't rent a simta either. Fine. Tosfos says that's not a problem. We could say that when we said a simta, means it could also be a reshus shel shnehem. It could be a chotzer that belongs to both of them, where the boat is located over there. And then we would say, but still, if we're saying a reshus as a mela, if it was talking about that, then we would say we could understand mesira versus meshicha. But if you're talking in an actual reshus adabin and you have a big puddle over there where the boat is in, and then how can Rebbe and the chachamim, which we're saying the Chachamim now is Reb Nosson, be arguing about whether Mesira is enough or Mashicha is going to work? It's clear from what Abaye and Rav are saying that that Mashicha doesn't work in Rosh Hashanah Abim.
Yeah, it seems like Mesira is a better kinyan.
Well, that's the Tosfos. Rabbi Natam argues that Mesira is a better kinyan. That Ashbam holds, on the contrary, Mesira is a weaker kinyan. It means you're only handing over the rope, as opposed to Mashicha, you're actually pulling it. You said that a few minutes before ago yourself, that you thought that's right. So how do we make it work? So how do we make this Braisa work? Where again, Rebbe is saying that it's enough to do Mesira, and the Chachamim are insisting that you need Anshim Shechena. Unless you do Mashicha, if it's talking in Rosh Hashanah Abim, it won't work. And if it's talking about not Rosh Hashanah Abim, then Rebbe is contradicting himself, because before he required Mashicha for a boat, and he was saying Mesira. So the answer is, my ad shim shechena nami de ka'omar, or my ad shiyiskas as makoyim de ka'omar. You're right, when the Chachamim against Rebbe are saying, until you do Mashicha, or until you rent the place, and you ask, what do you mean? How are you supposed to rent Rosh Hashanah Abim? And how could Mashicha work in Rosh Hashanah Abim? What it means is, Hachikama, Ad Shem Shechena, May Rosh Hashanah Abim List Simta. Means that you pull it from the Rosh Hashanah Abim and bring it into a Simta. And there, Mashicha will be affected. So that's what the Chachamim mean. They don't mean that right now the boat is located, they're saying the boat is located in Rosh Hashanah Abim. And in order for it to work, the Chachamim are going to say, it's not enough to do Mesira. Rebbe is saying it's enough to do Mesira. But he's saying, look, it's the place where Mashicha is not going to be effective, so just do Mesira and have done with it. The Chachamim are saying, no. What you need to actually do is you're going to need to do Mashicha and bring it to a place where Mashicha will be effective, namely a Simta or a Chotzer, Shishol Shnehem, or whatever. Yeah, by the way, within that, you have Machloikas Rishonim. How much of it has to go into that simta in order for it to work? Would it actually have to be that the whole boat? Before we had machlokas of Av and Shmuel, whether you have to move the boat completely out of its parking space that was in before, or whether it's enough. Now there the halacha is like Shmuel, you have to move it completely out of its parking space. But here, when you're talking about getting it from Rosh Hashanah Adam into a simta, would it be enough to just that it just goes a little bit into the simta, or would it actually have to go the whole way, or a little bit, or So the Ramban holds that even Shmuel, who says you have to pull the entire length, would say that that you have to have the boat has to be completely at the end in Rosh Hashanah where Mashiach works. So he would hold, in other words, that you do have to have the whole thing goes into the simta, but he would say, even if, so you started with the boat, you have, let's say, to begin with, 2 feet of the boat was sticking out into the simta, out of a 10-foot boat, Shmuel would hold, it's enough to move it 8 feet. You still have, it's not completely out of the space it was before, but it's all in the simta, and therefore it's fine.
Two feet sticking out in Rosh Hashanah.
2 feet to begin with, let's say. So let's say 8 to begin with. 8 feet were in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and 2 feet in the Simta. Then Amban understands that Shmuel would say that it's enough to pull it another 8 feet. So you have it completely out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabin. You have it completely in the Simta. It's overlapping 2 feet of what it was before. Then Amban says that doesn't matter. That Rambam holds that the other way around, as soon as part of it leaves the Rosh Hashanah Rabin, as soon as even a little bit of it gets into the Simta, then it's enough. And then you have the Ravid explains that you have to consider when it starts going into the Simta, that's where the Mashiach begins. He says, similar to the Rambam, that part of it has to go into the Simta, but you have to have, so he's kind of like a hybrid between the Ramban and the Rambam's opinions. And in fact, there are explanations that maybe even the Rambam would agree with that. Maybe the Ravid's Shitta is just clarifying the Rambam rather than disagree with him. Or in particular, actually, that they would say that the Rambam and the Ravid would agree as far as things other than boats. Because again, you have the logic that a boat you're dragging, as opposed to, for example, an animal picks up its feet and gets off the ground. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here, the point is, so yeah, it's a bit of a complicated Gemara. Here we had our fun the last couple of days with easy Agadta and all, and now, so getting back to the Gemara. So again, the Tanakh, so it may be like this. We are talking about Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Rebbe is saying because it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, it's enough to do Masira on a boat. You can't do Mashiach in Rosh Hashanah Rabin anyway. Hagbah, obviously, is a non-starter with a boat. Therefore, Rebbe says, fine, you can do the strongest kinyan you have available in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. It's a Masira, just do that, and then you're done. The Tanakhama would say, no, you do have the option of pulling it into a Simta. Therefore, the Chachamim are going to say, you have to do that. You have to pull it into a Simta, and only then have you accomplished the kinyan. The Imr Shus Bailihi, and the Chachamim are continuing, if the boat was previously located in the Rishus of the owner, then neither one is going to, then either you have to pull it out of that Rishus, or Loi Konad Shiyiskos Mekoma, then you're not Kona unless you rent the place, and now it becomes your Chatzar. Okay. Now, we mentioned just now Abaya and Rava's statement that Masira works in Rosh Hashanah Rabin as opposed to in a Simta, you need Mashiach. So now, Lema, Abaya and Rava, Damik Rebbe. Does that mean that Abaya and Rava's statement is only according to Rebbe? Because according to the Chachamim, based on what we just said, the Chachamim are saying that Rosh Hashanah Rabin, Masira will not work. They're insisting on Mashiach, that you're going to have to pull it into a Simta. Well, it comes out then that Abaya and Rava, who are saying Masira works in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, are going only according to Rebbe.
But that always are there symptoms in water.
So it means, in other words, that you're going to have to find. So, ultimately, it opens up to open water. So, fine, you're going to have to take it out into open water, and you'll be coined over there.
Rosh
Hashanah Rabin is where it's 16 amas wide. Some say with 600,000 people go through it. Open water would be timeless as far as Hilchos Shabbos. And as far as this, it's a hefker place. So Abaya and Rava, when they're saying that Masira works in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, seems to be only according to Rebbe. If we're saying in the second Braisa that the Chachamim disagree with him, usually the halacha is going to be halacha k'Rebbe mechadei roi v'loi mechadei rov. That when it's many Chachamim arguing against Rebbe, then generally the halacha is not like Rebbe. Here, where the machlokas is being presented as Rebbe against the Chachamim, then it means the halacha is like them. So how are Abaya and Rava saying something that would work only according to Rebbe, that Masira works in Rosh Hashanah? The rule is, halacha k'Rebbe mechavei roi. When Rebbe is arguing against one individual Tana, then generally the halacha is like him. Yeah. But v'loi mechavei rov, when Rebbe is arguing against the Chachamim in general, then Chachamim Loshen Rabim, then generally the halacha is not. So here, in this case, the halacha is not like Rebbe. The halacha would be like the Chachamim, implying, in other words, so far we're saying, the Chachamim are saying, Masira is not going to ever work in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. You need, at least not for boats, you need to do Mashiach. Well, Abaya and Rava, who are saying Masira works in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, seem to be going only according to Rebbe. The answer is, Amar Ravashi, Id Amar Leich Kazak Ukni Pachinam. So Ravashi says like this, if the owner of the boat says to the original owner, says to the buyer, go make a chazaka and be koinen. And now he makes a chazaka and a mesira, then hochinami, then indeed it would work even according to the Chachamim, and mesira would be a valid way of transferring ownership of a boat like that. But we're talking about over here. He told him, go do mashticha and acquire it. So, the Chum hold, it means that he's makid. He does not want to transfer ownership through mesira. He dafka wants to transfer ownership through mashicha. Now he could also be koina. He could also be koina the land. He could buy or rent the land that it's on or the water that it's on. And with that, he's koina by kinyan chotzer. But fine. But we're saying, in other words, again, in effect, the seller would be telling him of the various weaker methods of kinyan between mashicha and mesira. I don't want mesira. I'm insisting on mashicha. Whether you hold like the Rashbam that mesira is weaker, whether you hold like Rabbi Natam that mashicha is weaker, whatever the case, he's telling him, I insist on mashicha. So that would be the chacham. Whereas Rebbe holds Marim Mokum Huloi, he's telling him that this is a way, I don't care. It's not that I mind you being coined with Masira. Go Leich Mashaycha Kni. If you want to do Mashicha, then you could, but you don't need to. It would be good enough to do Masira. So that Marim Mokum Huloi means like he's showing him the place. Like he's saying, you have the option of doing Mashicha if you want. That would be a point of Rebbe. So the Gemara finishes off, going back to the matter of selling a shtar. So that covers the matter of a boat now. So now we understand then. So Rebbe is saying Mesira will be enough with a boat. So in other words, again, what we're summarizing then so far is, if he sells a boat and doesn't tell him a specific method of kinyan, then Mesira will be good enough to be koina of the boat. And that would be what we said. And Amar Aleph Sfina, so in that case, then we're saying that Rav, that Abaya and Rava would say that Mesira will work in Rosh Hashanah. But if he tells him Leich Mashoich Okni, then you have the Macholikas Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether he has to do Mashicha or whether he could also do Mesira and it would work. Now, getting back to the matter of selling a shtar, Amar Papa, Haiman de Mazbin Leish Shtar Lachavre, a person sells a shtar to somebody else. So he has to write him out a shtar, like we said before. Rav Nosson had said he has to write him out a shtar. He has to say kni hu v'chol shibud debay, acquire this shtar and any shibud that is in it, because the halacha in short is going to be like Rav Nosson, that it's not enough to just hand over the shtar. You need a shtar. You need to write out a shtar to say what you're selling to him. So you need to actually write out in the shtar that you're selling him the choyv. Even within that, you have machloek, because we're showing him whether it works on a deraisa level or derabanan level. And there is, by the way, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that hamoichu shtar choyv v'chaveri. Even you sell a shtar choyv to somebody else who machloy, and then you moichel it. Machol, it would work. You are able to be moichel that, and because in other words, to that extent, you still retain a certain ownership of the original sheep. So it is possible to be moichalit. It's considered you've now caused the hezek to the other guy. So it might be an example of hezek chain and nicker where you have to mid the rabbanon and you have to pay him. But for the hezek that you caused him, nevertheless, it is possible to do that. Anyway, so the Papa is saying you have to write, you acquire it and all the shibud that's in it. Amr of Ashi, Amrit l'shmaita kamed Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, I told over this teaching of Rav Papa to Rav Kahana. That, in other words, that it's not enough to just give over the shtar. You actually have to write out a shtar to say that you're selling the shibud and the shtar. Otherwise, you're just selling in the paper. And Rav Ashi says, I asked Rav Kahana, time at the cost of Lehochi. So it comes out from Rav Papa's statement only if you actually said that, only if you actually wrote that. And if you didn't write that, you wouldn't be koina. We have to ask him, are you selling him the shtar just that he can use as a bottle stopper? Obviously not. You're selling him the shtar as a shtar. So why do we have to follow Rav Nosson's opinion and say that you have to write out another shtar to sell it? Why shouldn't it be enough to just hand over the shtar? And Rav Kahana answers me, as a matter of fact, yes. Yes, if he doesn't write that, then it comes out that he's selling it to him only for the purpose of using as a bottle stopper and not the actual choiv. As far as you could argue, what do you mean? I bought this shtar from you because it has a debt in it of $1,000 as a piece of paper. It's worth only a few cents. Fine. So you would say that. So you'd say there'd be bittul mekach. You'd say fine. We could undo the sale. You bought something thinking that it's worth $1,000 and it's worth a lot less. So fine. I'll refund you your money. But other than that, as long as he doesn't make that claim, then yeah, he has a piece of paper that he could use as a bottle stopper. But to actually acquire the choiv itself, he would actually have to write out in the shtar that I'm selling you all the shibur that's in it. So now the Ramban has a different explanation of this last piece of Gemara. Here, according to the Rashbam, Rav Papa wants to tell us the halacha is like Rav Nosson, and Rav Ashi is arguing why the halacha should be like Rebbe, and Rav Kahana tells him it is in fact like Rav Papa says the halacha is like Rav Nosson. On the other hand, different Rishonim talk about it. The Ramban say that no, they all agree the halacha is like Rav Nosson, but what is the nusach you have to write? Rav Ashi is saying, why should you have to write kol shibude? Just write that I'm selling you the shtar, and that would be enough. And Rav Kahana says that would still amount to they only selling him the piece of paper. So they would both agree you have to write a shtar, but the question really what the nusach is that you have to write in the shtar. Then Tosfos has yet another opinion that b'chlal, maybe Rav Papa is not even saying the halacha like Rav Nosson. Rav Papa is saying that when you're writing a shtar not in order to accomplish the kinyan, but for the lekeach to have later on as a raya, to have it as a proof, where later on you can't come and say, wait, I only sold you the paper, so now the question is what nusach do you have to do? But that doesn't necessarily mean that the halacha would be like, that doesn't mean that Rav Papa and Rav Kahana are saying necessarily that the halacha is like Rav Nosson, that you must have a shtar in order to acquire another shtar, maybe, maybe not. Everyone.